So we're here to just to continue the series on the 4D, and we're really excited. I'm really excited because I get to do it with my man.
I'm excited.
Brother Dr. Ron. But I'm also a little bit not excited because, man, it was just some things that happened last evening that I'm not happy about. Right? Tennessee and Alabama both lost. This is like just disaster. Right? But dare I not say OH, right? Oh my gosh.
They do it.
These people are just, but Army is 5-0. I'm sure there's one person in here that's happy about that. So we're excited, but I digress. All right. So we're going to be talking to you today about the importance really of looking at vocation in the kingdom and life in 4D and how the kingdom comes to work. And so we're just going to talk a little bit, just have dialogue and discussion. But it's interesting how the second service last week kind of birthed out this element of the spiritual versus the secular. And it really was a thing where Dr. Ron and I, man, after we just talked and just, man, big shout out to Brother Matt, who was just, man, just being led by the Spirit. And we were able really to bring people to a place of healing. Right? Because there was some brokenness there. And so I'm really excited about being able to jump into this, Brother Ron. And
I'm ready to go.
You know, and you said that you had some things. So in this, I want to kind of break down kind of your life story and how this kind of came to be. And we'll just ping pong back and forth.
Absolutely. So we've had like similar life stories in certain ways. So we have.
Absolutely.
So we found that out. So yeah. So I'm a medical doctor who just retired with a small R about a year ago. And I'm seeing this morning a lot of people who are deciding on careers right now in the room. People actually are praying and looking for God, his guidance. So taking you back for just a quick second, because I want to start with a dilemma that I had that I think is, I'm not the only one. I'm sure you guys, a lot of people in here. And frankly, people who are my age, some of you are still dealing with this dilemma. That's what came out after that last service, I think, you know, Pastor Kemp, that we're not the only ones who've struggled with this. So we want to share this with you, the dilemma we've struggled with and how God has sort of brought an amazing sense of his kingdom to that. And I think it'll come as a sense of amazing hope for you who are deciding. I'm doing the same thing you guys are. I'm in a second career, so seeing how God will guide me and lead me, what are my gifts, what are my skills in this next career? I'm going to take you back, though. The dilemma I had, I was raised in a Christian home. That's not a dilemma. It was great. And thank you for you young couples in here who are getting started. I was raised to love God, to know the Scripture. But there was another side of that. You know, our enemy is constantly trying to use stuff that's great in our lives,
yes,
right? That
absolutely.
Against us. And in my home, like if you went into ministry full time, okay, I'm going to use that word like how it would be used.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
You would be a pastor, teacher, youth pastor. You would like get either seminary, some sort of go to Moody, go to somewhere and get your Bible training. And that was, it's almost like that was like just another tier. If you did that, everybody, you know, you were always high-fiving everybody and you were getting it done for the kingdom. But if you had an everyday career, like, okay, well, what do you want to do? Well, I want to be a plumber, or I want to be a teacher, or I want to be a doctor. All of that stuff would be like, okay, well, that's really nice. Okay, but let's talk about the pastor.
Yes.
And I know that you were raised in this as well.
Absolutely.
I know that you have the same thing. So if God is calling you and showing you the gifts that you have and bringing you into what you'd call a secular career, you almost have this built-in weight that, oh my gosh, you know, now I'm going to have to explain this everywhere I go, and I'm a second-rate citizen because I'm not like getting it done for the kingdom. And that was the second message that I was sort of getting, the hidden curriculum I was getting in my own family. So I went to pre-seminary training at Wheaton College, really grateful for that. Love my friends who are all like tearing it up for the Lord and loving the Lord, all turning into Brian, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, I mean, I'm like not doing it, you know?
Absolutely.
So I'm there 2 years and God just put another direction in my heart. And he said, you know, I love this. You've got the Scripture. You got me. Let's go out into the workplace. So all my Bible friends are saying, what's wrong with you? Are you falling away from God? Are you not going for the best anymore?
Yeah,
you're not really seeking God, right?
Come on.
And you felt that, right?
Absolutely.
And so, you know, you get this sort of like, you know, throwing cold water on that. So I found myself in a dilemma. This is my first dilemma I want to share with those of you who are trying to think about not only a new career, but if you're in the middle of a career today, if you're at the tail end of your career and all that time you've wondered, Was this full-time service? Is this full-time service? I've got an answer for you that the Lord has shared in my life. So it turns out that secular, sacred thing is great when you read the Old Testament. It's holy versus not holy. God was teaching and training his people the difference between what's holy, what's of him, and what's not. It was incredibly important. But it was never intended, as we come into the New Testament, to be the way that we all live. Instead, we have a relationship with God and Jesus that's something different. And so as I listened to my friends saying to me, you know, you really could go for the best by being a pastor. And God bless them for these pastors. I mean, I was raised by a pastor. I know what's involved.
Yeah.
It's not pretty. I mean, you think it's pretty, but it's hard. And it's like any other job. You know, you're open 24/7 and, you know, you're working weekends and you have terrible losses and you have difficulties and all of that like any other job. But somehow we've got this idea, and I just want to present to you that that's probably a false dichotomy. That's actually been created to you. That sort of has been sent to you over the sort of the airwaves that are not really scriptural. So here I am sitting at my college trying to get started in my career and feeling really conflicted about being a Bible major. And I started noticing as I started seeking God and looking at this, God started putting people in my life that were amazingly skilled at what they do. They clearly are in a secular career, like doctors. But we're skilled, but we're also amazing scriptural students. They love the Bible. They could sit with their patient and really go through a spiritual interest, spiritual need, and nail it. They could sit with their colleagues. They could be on call somewhere and get this done. So there are doctors in the room today. I know several of you guys. So you understand this. But I was really intrigued by these doctors who knew, who just body slammed the scripture as well as loving God, you know. So that intrigued me. I also noticed when I read the Bible, there were people in the Bible presented to us who are in secular careers full bore.
Yeah.
And these people have become, can't wait to meet them, some of my favorite people who've ever been around. Daniel, Joseph, people who have amazing secular careers, called to these careers, and yet no one could doubt, you know, their love and their deep, they're bringing the kingdom at that point in their job. So today's conversation is about something different happening in terms of the workplace for you and for me. And so this is about bringing the kingdom we've been hearing in the 4D sessions. Today's session is about your vocation as God is calling you.
Amen.
And it's about bringing the kingdom with you when you get to your vocation. Now, if you're just a student today, I got a message for you too as well in a little bit about being a student and how that already is setting you up for bringing the kingdom where you're going next. So first, I'm just bringing that moment of dilemma. What do I do about this? My whole family thinks, well, you know, my dad said, well, I was hoping to get one pastor out of you four boys, you know, here and now. You're my last shot here, you know.
Absolutely.
And I said, Dad, I think God's calling me into medicine. Nobody in our family in medicine. So right then I met a doctor who was working, doing missionary medicine. And this guy, Viggo Olson, who was working in Bangladesh, just blew me away. He just loved God, walking with God, but also skilled, knew what he was doing, knew that he was bringing the kingdom to the people where he was. It just blew my mind. Moved out of my dorm, changed my major, freaked out all my Bible friends, and became like a biology major. And during that time, God began to show me what he says about work, and I want to show you some of that right now.
Amen.
God says four things about work in his scripture. And let's find those things for a minute, and let's bring hope to the students in the room. And let's bring hope to the people who have been a plumber for 22 years. And let's bring hope to the people who are nearing the end of their career because God's got plans for you right now in the job that you're in right now.
Amen.
So what are the four things that I discovered that God was saying, Kemp, this is so cool, that God is saying, first, God works. And that means that all work has intrinsic value. All work has intrinsic value because God works. Hey, what was he doing for the 6 days before, you know, Adam and Eve come on the scene? He's creating and setting things up for human life to be here and for us to be able to live here. And he's doing that with such intensity and such brilliance and such skill and such wisdom. We learn in Proverbs 8 that wisdom stood by his side. We learn in John 1, Jesus was creating. And so we know that the Word of God was creating. And so we see God as a worker. So the first thing we learn is God is a worker. Mm-hmm. Then it says in Genesis 2:8 that God planted a garden. So God is a worker. But the very next thing we learn is that God then takes Adam and Eve, and he brings them into the garden to work the garden under his sovereign rule, under his kingship rule. The meaning for Adam in doing all this work is that he's in a relationship with the king.
Absolutely.
That's the meaning of his work. So he goes out there and he's enjoying all this, but it wasn't just, you know, understanding, you know, the plants. It was understanding, you know, God and loving and knowing God as he entered the workplace out into that garden. So the first thing we know is that God is a worker, and work of all kinds, therefore, have intrinsic value. How do I say that? Because the fall hadn't even happened yet, guys, and God is working. And Adam's working. There's no fall to bring this down. It's beautiful. It's a day's work. They can, you know, go over their notes together at the end of the day. So this brings meaning to all of our work, including if you are a teacher, if you are a plumber, if you are a patio layer, you just finished a patio, you are a programmer in here today, learning these skills, let me tell you, before we even talk about what's happened to work, there's value in your work because God is a worker. That's what the Bible says about work. And secondly, not only that, but man was created to work with God. Mm-hmm. Okay? We learn from Psalm 8, it says, you know, you made him, man, a little lower than the heavenly beings, and you crowned him with glory and honor. You made him rule over the works of your hands. You put everything under his rule. Mm-hmm. Notice, you. Because we are taking the kingdom with us to work, it's something different. Okay? So the second thing we learn about work in the scripture is that we are brought into work, work has intrinsic value, and that we are working with God. How about that? Okay. But then, you know, you say, Ron, this is great. I get, in my family, I get like put down for having toxic positivity. Do you know what that is? That's like when people are so positive you hate them. You know? So let me tell you like the rest of what happened to work, okay? Just like everything else, work was impacted by the fall. So if you've had a long day where you just did this yesterday and today you get up and you have to do it all over again, or like for me, I just get these people where they're getting better and they're mm-hmm. on the mend, mm-hmm. and now it's some other thing, you know. Yeah. And there's a certain frustration in work. Mm-hmm. There's a certain downside to work. There's a certain sense that it's so much work, or that, gee, I can't even remember what I'm doing today work.
Yeah.
That came because of the fall. The fall itself has embedded in work, like everything else in the human heart, a downside. It says in Genesis 3:17, compare your own notes, with your work. Cursed is the ground because of you, and through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Makes a hard day.
Yeah.
Although absolutely. I love when Garfield wins, but it still makes a hard
day. Me too.
Okay, yeah.
Absolutely.
Makes a hard day. You'll toil all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat of the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you came and from it you return. This is like what's happened because we decided to substitute God's rule with our own rule, to put our own rule, to create the kingdom of Ron. And how's it going in there? Not great, okay?
Yeah.
Kingdom of Ron. And this is like translated into our work lives. So even though work itself has intrinsic value, and work has all this meaning, and we are meant to be under the lordship of Christ, instead, we have this broken play where we're just trying to figure out, what are we doing here? Where's the significance? Yesterday, I felt good about my job. Today, I feel terrible. Yesterday, I knew I was going into, you know, medicine. Now, I'm not so sure. And so if any of you are, you know, I hope that you understand that you have everyone in this room along with the same experience that you're having with work. Romans 8:20. Yeah, go ahead, please.
I will stop you real quick.
Yes, yes.
Like, as I'm listening to you, this is what happens. This is a result of what happens when partnership is broken.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So as Adam partnered with God, and God is looking for us to partner with him, right, in this workspace, right, so that we can bring the kingdom into it. But when we break partnership, when we feel like we want to go it alone, it becomes more of a toil.
Yeah.
Oh, right?
Yeah.
It becomes a lot harder, right? Yeah. Because I've lost maybe my way or my identity in my work.
Oh, yeah.
To where somehow, some way, it's become a lot more transactional versus transformational.
Yeah, this is such a good point. And, you know, we had not ought to be trying to assign our own identity.
Mm.
You know, God gives us identity. It's because we're broken that we keep looking for everything else to tell us what we are.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a time where I thought, hey, I love it when the nurses call me Dr. Ron. And you get like about 5 minutes of that, and then like the entire floor slides off into the abyss, and you think, why was I even enjoying that? You know, but you know, you start down this road with, I like the way that feels. And then our God, you know, God is so good. He said, well, okay, big guy, you know, handle this. And then the next thing comes, and it keeps you humble because you realize that, hey, I should not be replacing my identity with anything.
Mm.
My identity is I'm the Lord's man. You're the Lord's woman. I'm the guy that the Lord bought for his own purpose, for his own king. And he set up his kingdom inside my heart.
Yeah.
And he's advancing that kingdom wherever he leads me, including out into the secular workplace.
Yeah.
He's bringing that. He's bringing it. And yeah, we don't always get it right. And we see that brokenness everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to talk in a couple of minutes about how we can bring the kingdom to some of that brokenness, which I love that too. So the last thing we learned three things. One is God is a worker. And all work has intrinsic value because of that one fact. Mm. Number two, man is a worker. We were made to rule under God and to work under God. Okay. Number three, work has been altered, made exasperation, made exasperating, made frustrating, made difficult because of the fall. And number four, I love this. Work is transformed and assigned its true meaning by our relationship to Jesus and the reality of the kingdom rule. Talk about 4D. Mm. So now here comes the kingdom, not just in your life, but in everybody you work with. It's starting to sort of change what's happening in their lives because you arrived there. Now stay with me here. It's not because you're laying tracks on everybody's desk. God bless you for that. But the reality is it's because you came.
Mm.
It's because the kingdom rule is extending in your heart. And as you sanctify the Lord Jesus as the Lord of your heart, that kingdom begins to transform your workplace and, for students, your study experience. Did you know that your study experience now, because of this fourth thing that Scripture teaches us about work, becomes a type of praise? I know that sounds crazy for me to say that. I remember Kemp coming back from a lecture. We had a guy who spent his whole life, you have people in medicine like this, spent his whole life studying the red blood cell. Without which all life would cease in this room, right? So the red blood cell is pretty darn important to all life on earth. And this guy went on for 3 hours.
Mm.
So I came home from, I'm a student now, and I'm thinking, am I ever going to get through this? But I listened to that, and it was so amazing. He told us that there was even only the slightest impossible change in the way the red blood cell is designed, and everyone would suffocate in 3 minutes because, and it's so, if you're a biologist in here, it's the hemoglobin dissociation curve. I'm geeking out about it. Okay. But the fact, it's just unbelievably cool, all right? And so I'm thinking, so I went back to my apartment. I walked across the field. I went to my apartment. I closed the door. I got down on my knees and I worshiped the Lord God of creation.
Come on now.
I said, I am blown away. I never knew. This is amazing.
Yeah.
I worship you because of the red cell.
Amen.
And and so that was the experience I was having because the kingdom was coming there with me and was seeing it in a different perspective. And that, that transformed my experience as a student. So that fourth thing is work is transformed and assigned its true meaning. And the Scripture teaches that as well. So through Jesus, we begin to recapture, Kemp, the meaning of our jobs.
Yeah.
I love doing this with you because I watch you as you go around in your rounds through the city. Once in a while, I intersect with you when we are both in the same place, and I watch how you bring it. And this is so much fun. I told you this, to do this with you, because I am just I'm just awe-inspired by how you are Kemp, Kemp, Kemp wherever you are. And I don't know what happened to you. It took me longer than this to figure this out, but something has happened to you, bro, because wherever you go, you are Kemp.
Yeah.
I love that. There's just so many things that happen with that. And that's because for you, work is transformed for you.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I spent a lot of time not being Kemp, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I spent a lot of time trying to fit in the box of, I think, who people wanted me to be, right? Because the way full-time ministry was defined is like you have to be in the church. Like that was full-time ministry.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember the church I was birthed out in, that's what it was all about is, hey, when are you going to be at church? Why can't you be at church more? Why are you doing this coaching thing?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so there was a struggle for me there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. To say, man, I feel like I'm in full time ministry, but it's all about redefining this language and what it looks like and what it means. Right.
Yep.
And praise God to Brian and all the pastors and those that have built their life on this because we need that too. We need that type of word. But then I look at to my left and I see all these young life, right? Who is like, man, I've built a career saying, I want to go into the hedges and the highways, right? I want to go into the schools. I want to go into the college places. I want to go into the dorms and all these different places that are not the church. But what I had to realize and understand, Ron, is that man, I am the church. So I have the opportunity to take the church and expand it into more different places. Mm-hmm. And so I think that I just got really excited about who God had called me to be.
Yeah. Well, I can
and
see
really
it.
Making the decision to say, I'm going to partner with him in this call.
Yeah.
Because he calls us, but then we have to agree to partner with him in our call to say, hey, man, I'm not going to coach like everybody else coaches, or I'm not going to serve our community maybe the way everybody else is doing it. But how do I really mission the middle?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
To where it's not about either or, but it's about both and.
No, God bless both of these guys. I mean, we couldn't grow as a church if we didn't have people who are skilled in understanding how the bride of Christ grows. And so we need these guys. But also even like speaking of Young Life, you know, you guys are also working with people who will take secular careers. So having a deep theology of work, having an understanding of what God thinks about work is part of your message of the kingdom for them, because you're preparing them to work in a isolated environment.
Amen.
Where they, you know, and I didn't realize, you know, because one of my gift here is we all have gifts, all of us, that God gives to the church, and I teach and all that, but pastoring.
Yeah.
And so that was a gift that God gave me, but not, you know, the pastor coming through seminary training. But what I found out is doctors need pastoring.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, my brothers and sisters are over at the hospital sobbing outside the ER, saying, brother, what is happening to you? Let's pray together. And I realized that God has his people everywhere, and they need pastors. And they're not going to get over to the church house today because they're on 36-hour call.
Come on now.
Okay.
Amen.
So what they need is they need pastors.
Yeah.
And so we're training people to use these gifts wherever they go, whether or not they appear to have been called into full-time Christian ministry.
Yeah.
So where I'm going with this is, guess what? It's all full-time Christian ministry.
Amen.
I mean, where the kingdom goes, it isn't part-time, it's full-time ministry wherever it goes. And that doesn't denigrate anything about the pastorate. It just allows everybody else to get up to speed and realize, hey, we're in the kingdom too. So if you're sitting in here today and thinking, oh my gosh, I really loved when I was a young Christian, I wanted to go this way, but now I'm doing this other job. Hey, before you beat yourself up, it's very likely God called you where you are right now so that you can bring the kingdom there.
Amen.
Instead, let's deepen where you are now and get it.
Yeah.
So this tells us several things before we leave my first dilemma, how God solved my first dilemma. He's saying to me, dude, I called you here, all right? Work is intrinsically good. I will help you overcome. Here's how we're going to overcome the fail that happened at the fall. First, you work for me. You know, everybody asked me, who do you work for? Assume a health system. No, I work for God. I'm kind of like the Blues Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like where the Blues Brothers are.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were working for the convent raising $10,000, but some of you saw that. But it's just funny. And they say, who are you people? And they just say very seriously, I work for God.
Come on now.
And I just think it's so funny.
Ron has referenced the Blues Brothers.
I did.
From Platform. Praise
amazing
God.
Amazing song. It's
amen.
Amazing.
Come
movie.
On now. Amen.
Great. Flick. Anyways, so yeah, I work for God. And I realize, you know, my wife's here today. You know, there are times, I mean, doctors, one of every four practices goes out of business because we're not business people. And we got to a hard point at whatever. And she said, well, what are we doing? I said, well, God, I work for God. And I mean, I may get a paycheck, but God pays me. God rewards me. God leads me. So that's one of the first things that you learn from Scripture. Our King also rewards us, Ephesians 6:8, because you know the Lord will reward everything that you do that's good. And also, I said we work for the King, Colossians 3:23-24. Let's just bring this one out right now and get it, just get it out there in the room. Whatever you do, do your work heartily. You know, I can go in and learn the Krebs cycle. I can go in and lay it down for the red cell because I'm worshiping God. I can go in and I can work those hours. I can listen to this patient who's like killing me right now because I'm working for the great listener and the great counselor. So it completely changes your experience in your secular work right now and certainly in your pastor work. So whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord and not for people, knowing that it is from the Lord that you will receive the reward of the inheritance.
Yeah.
It is the Lord Christ whom you serve plumbers.
Yeah.
Okay? It is the Lord Christ whom you serve doctors. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve teachers.
Mm-hmm.
It is the Lord Christ whom you serve patio bricklayers. And on, managers, on and on it goes. Because God is transforming the workplace as his kingdom comes to you. We are sent into the world to be an extension of God's kingdom in everyday life. You know, Jesus said, Father, John 17, don't take them out of the world. But instead, I'm praying for them. I'm sending them in the world just as you sent me.
Amen.
Into a hostile, weird environment that nobody knows what they're... But they're all fallen and they're blaming each other for it. And so I'm sending these guys who love me and under my kingdom rule so that they can begin to bring the kingdom with them into that workplace.
Amen.
And so that's actually going on. We also overcome the world by our faith in Jesus.
That's right.
You guys know that. So I'm going to take you... I'm going to fast forward now 20 years. You think I've got it now? No. No, Kev, no. Because we keep learning our whole lives. We think that we've got it.
Amen.
20 years later, young family, things going on, practice is growing, and I've got a Bible study at the church that I'm teaching, Bible study in the week, a lot of Christian organizations going on. And pretty soon, that same dichotomy, that same division that I told you about, here it comes again. So I'd go and like really work really hard at the hospital, get all this stuff in, then run back over to the church house and teach my Sunday school class, then go back to the hospital and finish my rounds. And pretty soon it got to be like, you know, church was just such a great place to hang out because work was so hard.
Yeah.
And what happened is I've already allowed myself to slip back into that thinking again. This is dilemma number two. And that is, why am I commuting between two worlds? I'm not Kemp yet.
Come on.
I don't get this yet. I think that, okay, I go over here and do what I do at my secular job. Then I really kind of balance it all out by really giving it up at church.
Yeah.
Using those gifts at church, loving those Christians at church, solving those problems at church, working on the conflicts, you know, loving God. But over at work, you get this sort of emotional Sunday night or when you're going to work, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And I found myself having forgotten all the lessons that I just joyously told you about. So we continuously are learning. You know, those of you deciding which way you're going, it says in Psalm 32:8, I will counsel you with my eye upon you.
Mm.
Hey, God has got bags of guidance. Don't you worry about it.
Mm.
If you're heading the wrong direction, he'll show you. He'll put someone in your place. He'll guide you because you're his kid, your beloved. So he's going to guide you. Don't you worry about that. All right? So here I am, and I'm thinking, what do I do? And God brought me to a place where I realized this isn't normal. This isn't what I'd expected in terms of the kingdom. Why am I giving it up over at the church and then just sort of biting my lip and holding on in the workplace that was hard? God brought me to our wonderful psalmist David. And in Psalm 86:11, David prayed this great prayer. He says, and I'm going to paraphrase. He says, unite my heart that I might fear your name. That's not the paraphrase. That's the scripture. But here's the paraphrase. God, I'm in every direction going. I don't have any center anymore.
Mm.
I'm just commuting between two worlds. I don't even know who the heck I am anymore. I know I love you. I know you love me. But man, work. And then I love the church house, but I can't be over there all the time. Did I make a mistake? Did I make the wrong? I'm loving all of this, but really hard at work. And here David comes into my life and says, hey, you need to pray this with me. Unite my heart that I might fear. Bring all these crazy ends of my life that are loose. Bring them in. Bring them together under the Lordship of Christ. Let me see that both the church and the world are places where I fully live, worship, and release my gifts to reveal your kingdom.
Yeah.
So I remember Jim Elliott, who's one of my sort of mentors in time, who loved the Lord and was a missionary and went off to glory as a young man. But he said, wherever you are, that's what I see in your life, by the way, that just blesses my socks off. They're still here, but wherever you are, be all there.
Yeah.
Live to the fullest everything you know to be the will of God. Man. And so I began to see my workplace differently. God just broke down that wall. And God said, this is in 2004. Okay, Ron, I want you to be the same person at work that you are at the church house.
Mm.
I want you to bring those spiritual gifts to your work team.
Yeah.
I want you to bring the same thing there. And I discovered another scripture. And if you're writing scriptures down, this is a good one. Philippians 1:27.
Mm.
Paul says, be sure.
Mm.
Man, I can't even tell you. Church, this is so sweet. Let your lives weigh as much as the gospel. Live lives worthy of the gospel is what your translation says. The word is axios, which is a weight, a standard.
Mm.
You put a weight here, weighs the same, good. You're good to go, it's the same. Put a weight here, weighs the same, good to go. What does the gospel weigh?
Yeah.
So there's my third dilemma. How do I bring the kingdom? You know, Jesus said, pray like this.
Mm.
Your kingdom come.
Amen.
Your will be done. What does that look like in the workplace?
Yeah.
It probably doesn't look like a tyrannical boss forcing everybody to go to their Bible study on Monday mornings. It doesn't look like tracts on every desk. It doesn't look like people forcing other people. Here's what it has looked like for me. Let me tell you what it looks like for me. God just challenged me. He said, Ron, great. Great service. Now it's Monday. Let's go.
Yeah.
Number one, be sure that you are skilled at what you do. Because it's worship. Now, you can't be like everybody else. You don't have to be perfection, but you can be excellent. Everybody in here can be excellent. You can seek for that to the point that God, this is not a service about, you know, the talents, the talent parable, which is great, that everybody gets different talents, not even the point. It's what they do with that.
Yes.
So sanctify Christ as Lord of your heart, and let's go. And I, notice I keep saying that. That's 1 Peter 3:15, because without that, you ain't got the kingdom expanding in your own life. You're just sort of
sitting. Right.
So let's make sure who's on that throne. It isn't you. It isn't somebody telling you who you are. It's Jesus telling you who you are. So if your kingdom doesn't come, we're going to live with the frustration of this job the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
If your kingdom doesn't come, we're never going to understand the meaning of our lives or our work or any of this. We're just going to hate each other and shame each other. So God now, on my third dilemma, how do I bring the kingdom?
Amen.
This is what he says. Weigh as much as the gospel. Now, before you freak out and think you can't do that, you totally can do that because God is, Christ is in you, the hope of glory, and he is sufficient for these things, okay? So how do you do it? First thing, learn your trade. Let's keep growing. Let's keep learning. That's not who you are. You are beloved in Christ, but let's learn your trade because it's a form of worship. Secondly, a surprising thing about bringing the kingdom. Find the Christians. Hey, they're over there. They're dying on the vine. They don't know who they are. They're stuck in this hard job. They need you to encourage them and pray with them and love them. Find them. Jesus said, these are my family, everybody who's obeying you. It's not what you think, he says. So find the Christians and encourage and strengthen those Christians that are doing the same as you. Man, I found them right away. I said, God, where are they? Here they are. They're with me on this work shift. So we're going to spend just a minute because the work is awaiting. Let's not abuse our privilege here. Praying together and blessing one another and remembering who we are. And now let's go take care of these patients in my case. So love, encourage, and pray with the believing people who are in that job. Here's another thing you can do. Actively listen to everybody, not just the Christian people. You actively listen. You know, you may not realize why this person is coming into late to work. They're driving their kids to one place, somebody else, their mom to another place. And no one at work knows. I've had that experience. So begin, ask Jesus, you know, give me the heart that listens. And what about that work partner, that person that actually flubbed up last month and everybody's in the break room talking about how they ought to be fired? How about trying to forgive that person?
Mm.
That's the gospel.
Yeah.
How about forgiving them?
Yeah.
So we had a young doctor who was really struggling. No one had any idea why, but I was managing at the time, and she was struggling. And she'd had a couple of real bad reviews, you know, where she just did. She's a good doctor. We know that she's trained well, but real bad reviews. So we met together, and people said, well, she needs to be out of this program. She needs to be gone out of here. And three people in the room said, no, there's something important there. Why don't you give me extra hours? I'll go with her to the ER, and I'll watch her as she interacts with patients and give her some pointers. Maybe I can sort of bring this thing around. He did that for a month, which was really hard to do. This other, he had a busy guy, too. The second guy, the same thing, and the third guy, the same thing. After about 6 weeks, we had another meeting, and she had now posted several really good reviews and met with all three of us, thinking that she's going to lose her career, which she'd already spent 9 years preparing for, and she's an international person, so she'd come from internationally, and wow, a lot to lose. So as we spent time with her, there was also spiritual life in her.
Yeah.
So I just encouraged her in the Lord. Long story short, not only did she graduate from our program, but she also went on to secure a really wonderful fellowship appointment and is now working on that. But at graduation, she found those three people, all of whom were Christians. I didn't realize this till later. And said to them, you know, I will never forget how I was treated in this program, how I was loved by you guys.
Amen.
And I will never forget it. So let's forgive and let's find out what that person needs to grow.
Yeah.
Let's solve problems or conflicts in a way that honors multiple viewpoints instead of one. And you're like an ace at this. I'm kind of like trying to learn from you. But I mean, if everybody in the room disagrees, let's make a decision together that everybody, I can honor and respect all these people in the room. That's kind of, we're working on how Jesus would deal with people. Let's advocate for a younger person. Hey, let's push back on the company if they disrespect people in the community and are not just.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says God loves justice.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like oppression. And in healthcare systems, you can like take a whole group of people out of the equation and not care for them. Let's push back. And I'm delighted to see young doctors saying, hey, this is not okay.
Amen.
Didn't we sign up to take care of patients? So why are we treating this group like this? Not okay with me. So sometimes we have to advocate. And then there's one last thing I want to get to about this, and we're nearly done actually. Sometimes you're going to reveal the kingdom through weakness. You know, you are an earthen pot, I am too. And the light is inside of us. Sometimes a little pink, a little break in the pot. So I have colleagues who were just amazing Christians, world's on fire, and suddenly they got a serious autoimmune disease and couldn't even get to work. And now they're thinking, how can I accomplish all this for you? But as they gave praise to God in the midst of their illness, their whole workforce was transformed by that.
Yeah.
I said, dude, the way you are following Christ is changing the people you work with because of your weakness. So you know, the Bible says that itself can bring the kingdom. When life cracks your Christian vessel, the light shines out. 2 Corinthians 4:5-7, we have this treasure, the light of God, in earthen vessels, so that, you know, others can see. We break, the light comes out. Weakness is another way that you bring the kingdom at work.
Amen.
And finally, influence over impact. Okay, go ahead, have the great meeting, have the great Bible study. I've done it all. I've done all these. I've done them. They're great. I remember them. But it's influence over time that transforms your workplace, not your big moment. It's these little moments.
Amen.
That person remembers as you're bringing the gospel. You are the light of the world, Jesus said. Do all things without complaining. Jesus, it says in Paul wrote to the Philippians 2:13-15. Do everything without complaining because you're shining as lights to everyone around you where you're working. All right. So I think now, and you know, I'm almost at the end of my comments. You want to say anything?
Yeah. Let me invite our praise and our worship team back up.
Yep.
And I just want to acknowledge something, right? Like, we are the church, correct? Can we all agree on that? We're the church?
Yeah.
Okay. And so, Dr. Ron, some of the things that you were saying when you're talking about divided, the scripture that came up was a house divided against itself can't stand. And so when we're trying to figure out who we are in these different spaces and places, like, we're actually dividing ourselves in the gift that God has given us to be in our workplace. And so therefore, what is happening is, and what begins to happen is that we start to limit God. We start to limit God through our own, if you will, ignorance, and really through our own selfishness. Because we feel like, well, if I go to work, I don't want to be this Bible thumping person. Like, I really don't want to wear, if you will, God on my sleeve. I want to kind of suppress God and limit God. But that's the one thing that we're discovering here at Garden City, is that there's a reason for the fivefold ministry. Because God has no limits to who he is, and we all have a role to play in this. And I just want to acknowledge some things here, and just a couple of people. Because I think that as we continue to do this work, we get caught into places that we don't always know, but we discover God in these places. And so, obviously, I get to coach, but more importantly, I get to really watch other people. And I can observe some things. And so Jesse and Stephanie Moore, they do a lot of the, I would say, like, boots on the ground work for our program. Like, Jesse is our water boy. And he's an older brother. Not old, but he's older. He's experienced. But I watch him in the care that he takes to stir this Gatorade. Like, he bought like a big paddle to stir it, right? Again, doing all that he does as unto the Lord, and not to Coach Boyd, not to our players, but man, everything is being watched. And he does it so meticulously that it's right because he wants it to be right. And if one of our kids pulls a cramp in a game, he feels this overwhelming burden that, man, I didn't do something right. Because they're pulling cramps. And I'm like, no, they just ain't in shape. And we'll run them more. Right? We'll run them more. We'll take care of that. But then I also watch Stephanie and how she runs and they both run our concession stand. Now, if you've ever been to any type of ball game, the concession stand, you're going to hit a whole bunch of people. But the number of families, the number of parents, the number of young people that they get to encounter from the concession stand with sloppy nachos and sloppy coney dogs and all these different things, they've gotten to know and to meet people and express the love of Jesus through a concession stand. See, it don't have to be this big thing. It don't have to be a platform at front at church, which I appreciate the platform. But it's wherever you make your platform at, that we don't have to be a house divided. But I can take Jesus into the concession stand. So much so that, man, people just come because they want her brownies. And those brownies are prayed over and they're blessed. Now, I'm not happy about the cookies that she made yesterday. It's a little different. I ain't happy about that recipe, amen. But we'll work on that. But let's not get caught up in thinking that full-time ministry is being in the brick and mortar full-time. Because if we're doing that, how much are we limiting God, but also us being a house divided against our own self? When we go and take the church to people, that's what we've been called to do. Just like Brother Ron has been talking about, and he had to discover that. But in discovering this, we're really casting down and pushing back some of the old traditions that we've been taught since we grew up. And God is redefining us by having us to rediscover who he is. And a part of that, come on down, brothers, is as we take communion, we get to discover him and remember him all over again. And as we take this communion, just take a second to think on that, to say, God, you've given me this word. You've given me this teaching this morning. How do you want to 4D me in this place? And sometimes by calling things secular, we automatically put a negative connotation on it. So let's say marketplace. Maybe that makes us feel different. Amen. And so I want to pray with us as we get ready to go into praise and worship, and take your time in this moment to discover what he's doing. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the word that you have given us. We thank you that how you are birthing us out into something new, into this place where you have placed us. And I pray, Father, that we not limit you, but we only expand you because you are expanding within us. And help us to be us wherever you place us in all of the many places that you will place us into, that we may bring forth your kingdom, that we may bring forth the fruits of your spirit, that we may bring forth lifting you up, and then you will draw all unto yourself. And Father, as we meditate and discover, we take the bread that represents the body of Jesus and the juice that represents his blood that was shed on our behalf, and we take this in remembrance. Bless our time now as we go into praise and worship. In Jesus' name.